Hello, everybody. It's your girl, Tundi. Tundi. Just came on to talk to you guys a little bit today about the Nipsey Hussle situation, things that are going on with Kodak Black, Lauren London, and a couple of other things I just had on my mind that I thought would benefit other people. I hope you enjoy it. First thing I want to talk about was Nip. And Nipsey Hussle and his legacy. Let me tell you something. You know, if you listen to my prior podcast, we talked about strategies for combating death and those grief feelings. One thing about life is going to be life regardless. People are going to get killed, you know, murdered, or, you know, they're going to die. But the thing about the death of Nipsey is he was such an iconic figure in society. He was really trying to make a difference and trying to make a difference in the lives of those who may not have had those same opportunities afforded to them, you know, if he had not been in that position. But one thing I want you guys to know that, you know, death is not an issue with God. We hurt and we suffer behind death, but one thing that God will do, he will take one to draw 10,000. And I think that's what he did in the case of Nipsey. He took his, he allowed the devil to take his life. But the legacy that he's going to leave in the wake of that is going to be more than the devil could ever fathom. Because see, what the devil doesn't know is that God had planted the seed in Nipsey. He gave him 33 long years to do what it is that he wanted him to do. And God is going to take up the reins and ride the rest of this fiasco out. Because one thing about God, he doesn't do anything that doesn't have a counter outfit on it, added. Then we have Kodak. He's, you know, making all kinds of crazy comments in the blogs and everything. You know, one thing about this newer generation, and I think that the game hit on it really well when he said, "You, this young generation, you." He said, "You new NIGGAs, you know," and that is true. You know, this new generation has to get and develop a level of respect for the human race, and that's something that I think they are impotent on. They don't have the tools, and I especially, you know, think that Kodak Black does not have the tools to be able to know what to say, you know, but he should study his environment. He should study the people around him. He should study what's going on, because we cannot allow those types of, you know, behaviors to happen, and we can't allow you to say whatever you feel. That's just not the way the world works. So to Kodak Black, I want him to know, you know, whether you were shooting your shot or you were just talking just to be talking, you know, Miss London is a very attractive young lady. She's a nice looking lady. Nobody expects her to be alone for the rest of her life. But do not disrespect her husband in the wake of his demise, his untimely demise, by, you know, plotting for her. That lady is in a state of, you know, confusion, horror. You know, she's in limbo right now. I know, because even my ex-husband passed away January the 5th. And, you know, I am just to the point now where I am, you know, trying to push forward and keep going. And you know, we knew he had a bad heart. We knew, you know, that he would not live forever. And he had even told me, when my time comes, I want you to keep pushing on. Mr. Hussle didn't have that. He did not see, or did he see? You know, that's another question. Mr. Nipsey, he prophesied a lot about what was going on. So God has showed him some things that he may not have revealed to us all. We never know what is that's going on in the minds of other people. So we should be respectful of those things. We should be, you know, we should just understand that people have their own lives. I seen a little girl on Instagram the other day, and she was talking about, you know, what people can say to set off another person. You never know what your action could make, what the kind of reaction that your action can make. It could be a counter move, you know. It could be positive or it could be negative. So let's just be mindful of that. And you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you something, you know, godly, pray for this country, pray for the murder spirit, pray that, you know, and I know people saying, well, I done prayed and it don't work. You don't discount it. You just got to keep doing it, you know, just give it the time to manifest itself. Things don't happen in a day. The world wasn't created in a day. God took 7 days and he created light. He created the sun. He created the world. And he said it was good. So we're not going to demean what he said because of how we feel, you know. And I really, truly, strongly believe that. So just want to hop on if it sounds a little echoey. I usually do these broadcasts at home, but I wanted to respond. I wanted to make my voice heard when it came down to Mr. Hustle. You can find me on IG, Unusual_Blessings. Also have Eyes on the Prize. Also have Miss.Heck_Music_Faves. Our Miss Always On Point, TundiHector.net. runtundi@gmail.com. If you want to get in touch with me, if any questions, if you want to submit to keep this broadcast going, if you want to, you know, make your voice known to me, if you have anything that you would like to be heard, discussed on my podcast, let me know. Reach out to me. I am reaching out to you. And, you know, that's what Master P was saying. A lot of people, you know, don't give you your flowers while you're alive. If you respect the game, if you respect anything, you know, tell people, you know, look, I respect you. There's no harm in telling another person, I respect what you're doing. Doesn't make you any less of a person. Just means that you are more of a, your character is more because you can look at the and validate another person and what they are trying to do. And that should make, and it all the while you're trying to validate their behaviors, it should in turn make you push harder to be who you want to be, your true and authentic self. And search your hearts, search your minds, and we're going to keep pushing on. We're going to do this in honor of Nipsey Hussle. R.I.P. to Nipsey Hussle. You know, just keep your cognitive mind open. Keep yourself grounded. Within find ways in your different communities and different areas and genres to, you know, make a difference, to make a change, to pull this community out of the mud, because we need leaders. We need people who are not afraid. I commend the young brother. The young brother gave his life. I had heard of Nip, but I hadn't really listened to his music, and I took and went the title, and I listened to, you know, Victory Lap and Selfishness, and I really understand where the brother was coming from. You know, that's why I love trap music. That's why I love hip hop, because that's me in a nutshell. You know, and doesn't have anything to do with my Christianity. It's just who I am as a person. So, you know, just go ahead and keep yourself going. Keep prayed up. Keep talking to the Lord. Cover your families in the blood and never give up. And once again, it's your girl, Tunde. And if you have any questions, like I said, you most definitely can reach out to me. I'm here if you need me. And, oh, go cop that book, Unusual Blessings, on Amazon and Kindle. You can get it on the ebook. And you can get it on hard copy. It's only $12.99. And again, it's Tunde. Be blessed. Peace. What's up, what's up, what's up, people? It's your girl, Tunde. Making this podcast for my ladies, for my girls, for you women, for us queens that out here in the wilderness with these men. Girl, what's going on? I told you, ladies, that I will be making a podcast about relationships. Yeah, about relationships. I came to do that simply because the girls that I have seen, you know, we ladies, we going through things with the men in our lives, and men may be going through some things with the women in their lives. But just your girl coming through to try to shed a little light on how to deal with that. Me, myself, personally, I've told you guys several times, I am divorced, but I say widow, but I'm not. I'm divorced, but my ex-husband passed away in January. When we were together, there were some traumatic events that transpired in our marriage, and it made it hard. It really did. It made it hard to survive. There was, you know, drug abuse. There was, you know, cheating, infidelity that occurred and everything. So I'm just here to speak on my take, my opinion on, things and that we could do to handle, you know, those situations better. as I was doing my research for the podcast, I came across this article. And it was crazy because I was sitting here and I was on my computer and I was doing my thing. And I, of course, I'm, you know, connected to the Huffington Post and the Huff Post and Politico and the whole, you know, all of the news, you know, venues and outlets. And there's this article that popped up on Huffington Post. Well, Huff Post, it says, "My husband and I left our spouses to be together. Here's what I've learned about love." I was like, what? Oh my God, this is crazy. So it being a Sunday evening yesterday, I just decided to read the article. This particular couple had been knowing each other for a number of years. They had worked at some type of fair or, you know, convention, working in, they are both interested in food and the and being in the culinary genre. So they would go to this convention once a year, and they would work the same restaurant or whatever venue that it was that they had to work together. And beyond their knowing their names, and I think they didn't even really know each other. They said they didn't even know each other's names the first 3 years that they, you know, did the convention together. You know, he being a husband, having children, having a wife, you know, it was, you know, day-to-day life. But the gentleman was unhappy. The young lady was a female in a situation where she was unhappy. They both, you know, seen each other, and they talk about in the article one particular day that the couple is cutting some potatoes, and he walks by, and there's this immediate attraction that you might want to call it. I was like, what? Okay, y'all doing it, you know? But from that day on, they decided to meet outside of that, fell in love, and left their spouses. You know, she had all types of, you know, inhibitions about whether he was actually going to leave his wife, because we know technically men never leave the wives and the children and their families. And so she was apprehensive, but he did. They have successfully, you know, or trying to integrate the families together. His family gets along doesn't get along with her. She's the bimbo. She's the tramp. She said she's the slut, the homewrecker. But her family has embraced him, and even his children have embraced her because they see a change in their father. I wanted to touch on it simply because I thought it was interesting because these were two married people who left and came together. So, you know, it can sometimes we as women, we are married to a man and he may not be the man for us. He may not be the one that God intended for us to be with. But because we're married, because we are in a situation where we are a wife, we tend to try to push that. You know, I know myself personally, I fought for my marriage. I prayed. I was the good wife. You know, I did not cheat. I knew he was doing wrong. I tried my best to get him to do what I wanted him to do. But at the end of the day, it didn't stop. And March 28th, 2012, I got tired. I just had heard some things that just really tore my heart out. And at the end of the day, it ended my marriage. But my ex-husband and I, you know, it took some time. But we never did stop being intimate. I do want to say we always were intimate until I finally, 3 years ago, stopped it. And, you know, I did that not for him, but for me. You know, because I was like, why are you sleeping with this man? He's married a whole nother woman. You know, just because, you know, you don't have to indulge in that. That's the way you fully move on. And that's what I did. But I wrote down some things that when he left, these are feelings that I had. Coping with spousal abandonment, infidelity, betrayal, rejection, and depression. And to be honest with you, a quick Google search will bring up all of these ideas. And I chose abandonment because, you know, we feel like a husband is our protector. We feel like he's there to, you know, he's supposed to pay the bills. He protects the family. If there's an intruder, he goes and defends the home. He goes out in the world and defends his family. And that's just, you know, what we see our man being for us. And it's in his nature to want to protect his family. If he really loves his family, if he invests anything in you, that's what he feels has to happen. So I'm gonna be just candid with you. You know, really run this down with yourself. At my divorce hearing, we were walking out and my husband said, I'm feeling some type of way. I said, why? He said, because you ain't my wife no more. And I said, no, I'm not. So then he walks up on me. Of course, he's taller than I am. And he walks up on me and, you know, and we talk and we hug and, you know, we even kissed. And he said, I love you. I said, I love you too. You know, we just couldn't be a couple, you know, and it's okay. You know, at first that hurt and it still does. Around that time of the year, I get really frustrated and everything, but I'm working through that. And those feelings will always be with you if that's an event that happened to you that was traumatic. So don't feel bad about that. Don't feel bad about being mad. Don't feel bad about being upset, you know. But when you do separate from your mate, somebody that you've been with, you put a lot of time in, and they may moved on and went right into another relationship, don't always think that relationship is going to work. How do you know, Tundi? Because I went through it. And my ex-husband's mistress, soon to be, you know, stayed to be his girlfriend. They didn't stay together. You know, she came back and told me, you know, that she, you know, was sorry for even messing with my husband. And she told me that, you know, you were the best woman for him. You know, she said that she was really just trying to use him. And then she said that she got with another guy and he did the exact same thing to her. So you never know the consequences and repercussions of you doing, you know, what you're doing and the consequences and repercussions of what he's doing. We have to take into account that people are people. You know, my husband told me, he was like, you was hell to live with. And I was like, what? He was like, yeah. I was like, no, I don't think so. I was just going through, but I was depressed. I was, you know, worried about, you know, our finances, because we would be up for a minute. We would be down for a minute. I was trying to help him stand on this end, trying to help him stand on that end. And in my relationship, we fought all the time, you know. So after, you know, we were trying to convince ourselves along with everybody else that our marriage was a viable marriage and that, you know, despite us fighting a lot, that we really did love each other. So I was like, shit, I ain't gonna be keep on trying to worry about it if it's not gonna be, you know, something that I can keep up. And I excuse my curse word there, but, you know, I'm a human being just like everybody else, and we have to take into account that things happen, you know, and you be feeling some type of way. I was like, even to this day, it's like the fights were my fault, and I'm like, this boy was doing this, and this. But yet again, other people might say, well, you were doing this. So I sat back and I reevaluated the situation. I reevaluated myself. I reevaluated how we interacted. You know, I met my husband and he was 6 years younger than I was. And so he, you know, I really got him in his young years, the years that men really take and, you know, sow their royal oats, if you want to say, you know, 17, 18, 19, you know, we got married. He was 23. I was 29. By that time, we had been together for years, because I met him when he almost turned 18, and then I was 24, and I kept telling him, this little boy, leave me alone, but he wouldn't. And the first time he and I interacted, he stayed at my house. Well, the first time we were intimate, he stayed at my house, you know, for 2 weeks. And back in the day, I was young, you know what I'm saying? I was young, and to have a dude next to me, I thought that's what I had to have. You know, I thought, you know, that I had to have sex. I thought that I, you know, I couldn't go without it. And to hear this young boy came, and he had some good sex, you know, honey. He had done set your girl on fire, and, you know, and that's how we did that for each other. We had good sex. We had that good sex life, and it was the other rooms in the house that we didn't have the good rapport with, and you know, that caused the problem. And I had to separate the sex from the marriage, you know. I had to separate the from the marriage. I had to separate that part of our life, because if I didn't, we wouldn't have made it. And we, at the end of the day, we didn't, but we became the best friends two people could be. We had a love for each other that, you know, was outside of the realm of sex. It was, I loved him and he loved me, and we were able to see each other for who we really were, and we were able to talk, and we were able to communicate. And then he passed away, but he told me everything he wanted me to know. He said he loved me. He told me that if something happens to him, to keep pushing on. He told me, don't stop, keep going. He told me he was proud of me. And for him to say those words to me, I really will never forget those words. And they touched me then, and they touch me now. So if you're going through something, anybody, ladies, gentlemen, it doesn't matter. You know, time, they say, will heal all wounds. But, you know, that's true to an extent. Some things just take prayer and supplication. So talk to God about what you got going on. You know, he's not going to be too far, because he already knows. And if your mate left, if he went with another woman, you know, it's hurtful to see your spouse with another female and they seem happy. But it's not all it seems. It's a show for the world. It's to put on this, you know, act. You know, my, oh, I'm so happy here. And he may feel like he's happy over there, but I guarantee you, he thinking about home. You know why? Because my husband told me, he was like, it wasn't a day went by that I ain't think about you and my kids. It wasn't a day that went by that I didn't want to come home. It ain't a day that ain't went by that I felt like, what the hell I have done? I done destroyed my wife. And, you know, and I didn't know he felt like that. Because we were talking and he was on the road and he said, and I said, you don't care about me. He said, you stop right there. You don't know how I cried. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, all right. So he did care. You know what I'm saying? He did love me, you know, because sometimes he's thinking he loved me, but you know, I shouldn't think that my husband didn't love me, because he did. He would give me whatever he had until he started tricking. Tricking if you got it, you know. But I ain't gonna make this no long drawn out situation. You girls just take what happens, you know. I ain't saying take it for a grain of salt, but take it, evaluate it, and always look back at yourself, because my dad always said, when you point that index finger out, that thumb is gonna come back. And don't depict him, depict you. So when you go into the next relationship, you won't carry all that baggage. Because just like this couple said, they fell in love and they knew that they were meant to be together. And despite the legal troubles they've had, despite what has happened, they're actually very happy. This person that you're married to may not be for you. And you may be trying to force something that is not there. And it is holding up the person that God really has for you. It's holding up the person that God has designed to be able to love you with your flaws and all. So don't ever feel like that it may not be. It's not going to, you know, that it's for the worst and it's going to hurt you so bad, because you never know what God meant for this to happen. I want you girls to give me some feedback, you know. Unusual_blessings. That's me on Instagram. Tundi Hector on my LinkedIn. Tundi Hector on my Twitter. Facebook. My fan page is Tundi Hector. My email is runtundi@gmail. And also unusualblessings16@gmail.com. Hit me up. Let me know what you feel. You know, if you want to donate to my podcast to help me to create some more content, because I really want to take this to the next level. I love to talk, and you people know it. You know what I'm saying? Because if you listening to me, I am what I am, and I can't be nothing else. That's what Popeye said. I am what I am, and I can't be nothing else. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to experience different things. I'm going to try different things, because you'll never know what is going to happen if you do not try. And if these men out here stressing you out, girl, don't let that man stress you out, girl. You better pray. You better go out and mingle. You better have fun. You better put your makeup on. You better put your heels on. If you wear heels, whatever you wear, make yourself look good. Go out and say, you know what? I wasn't born with him, and I ain't got to die with him. I can make it through this thing, because I am the most important person in the world. And if he can't understand that, that's on him. You people have a good day. I love you. And always remember to pray and talk to the Father above. And it's your girl, Tunde. And y'all have a blessed one. Peace. What's up, what's up, what's up, people? It's your girl, Tunde. Making this podcast for my ladies, for my girls, for you women, for us queens that out here in the wilderness with these men. Girl, what's going on? I told you ladies that I would be making a podcast about relationships. Yeah, about relationships. I came to do that simply because the girls that I have seen, you know, we ladies, we going through things with the men in our lives, and men may be going through some things with the women in their lives. But just your girl coming through to try to shed a little light on how, you know, how to deal with that. Me, myself, personally, I've told you guys several times, I am divorced, but I say widow, but I'm not. I'm divorced, but my ex-husband passed away in January. When we were together, there were some traumatic events that transpired in our marriage, and it made it hard. It really did. It made it hard to survive. There was, you know, drug abuse. There was, you know, cheating, infidelity that occurred and everything. So I'm just here to speak on my take, my opinion on, you know, things and that we could do to handle, you know, those situations better. as I was doing my research for the podcast, I came across this article. And it was crazy because I was sitting here and I was on my computer and I was doing my thing. And I, of course, I'm, you know, connected to the Huffington Post and the Huff Post and Politico and the whole, you know, all of the news, you know, venues and outlets. And there's this article that popped up on Huffington Post. Well, Huff Post, it says, "My husband and I left our spouses to be together. Here's what I've learned about love." I was like, what? Oh my God, this is crazy. So it being a Sunday evening yesterday, I just decided to read the article. This particular couple had been knowing each other for a number of years. They had worked at some type of fair or, you know, convention, working in, they are both interested in food and the being in the culinary genre. So they would go to this convention once a year, and they would work the same restaurant or whatever venue that it was that they had to work together. And beyond their knowing their names, and I think they didn't even really know each other. They said they didn't even know each other's names the first 3 years that they, you know, did the convention together. You know, he being a husband, having children, having a wife, you know, it was, you know, day-to-day life. But the gentleman was unhappy. The young lady was a female in a situation where she was unhappy. They both, you know, seen each other, and they talk about in the article one particular day that the couple is cutting some potatoes, and he walks by, and there's this immediate attraction that you might want to call it. I was like, what? Okay, y'all doing it, you know? But from that day on, they decided to meet outside of that, fell in love, and left their spouses. You know, she had all types of, you know, inhibitions about whether he was actually going to leave his wife, because we know technically men never leave the wives and the children and their families. And so she was apprehensive, but he did. They have successfully, you know, or trying to integrate the families together. His family gets along, doesn't get along with her. She's the bimbo, she's the tramp, she says she's the slut, the homewrecker. But her family has embraced him, and even his children have embraced her, because they see a change in their father. I wanted to touch on it simply because I thought it was interesting, because these were two married people who left and came together. So you know, it can sometimes we as women, we are married to a man and he may not be the man for us. He may not be the one that God intended for us to be with. But because we're married, because we are in a situation where we are a wife, we tend to try to push that. You know, I know myself personally, I fought for my marriage. I prayed. I was the good wife. You know, I did not cheat. I knew he was doing wrong. I tried my best to get him to do what I wanted him to do. But at the end of the day, it didn't stop. And March 28th, 2012, I got tired. I just had heard some things that just really tore my heart out. And at the end of the day, it ended my marriage. But my ex-husband and I, you know, it took some time. But we never did stop being intimate. I do want to say we always were intimate until I finally, 3 years ago, stopped it. And, you know, I did that not for him, but for me, you know, because I was like, why are you sleeping with this man? He's married a whole nother woman, you know, just because, you know, you don't have to indulge in that. That's the way you fully move on. And that's what I did. But I wrote down some things that when he left, these are feelings that I had. Coping with spousal abandonment, infidelity, betrayal, rejection, and depression. And to be honest with you, a quick Google search will bring up all of these ideas. And I chose abandonment because, you know, we feel like a husband is our protector. We feel like he's there to, you know, he's supposed to pay the bills. He protects the family. If there's an intruder, he goes and defends the home. He goes out in the world and defends his family. And that's just, you know, what we see our man being for us. And it's in his nature to want to protect his family. If he really loves his family, if he invests anything in you, that's what he feels has to happen. So I'm gonna be just candid with you, you know, really run this down with yourself. At my divorce hearing, we were walking out and my husband said, I'm feeling some type of way. I said, why? He said, because you ain't my wife no more. And I said, no, I'm not. So then he walks up on me. Of course, he's taller than I am. And he walks up on me and, you know, and we talk and we hug and, you know, we even kissed. And he said, I love you. I said, I love you too. You know, we just couldn't be a couple, you know. And it's okay. You know, at first, that hurt. And it still does. Around that time of the year, I get really frustrated and everything. But I'm working through that. And those feelings will always be with you if that's an event that happened to you that was traumatic. So don't feel bad about that. Don't feel bad about being mad. Don't feel bad about being upset, you know. But when you do separate from your mate, somebody that you've been with, you put a lot of time in, and they may moved on and went right into another relationship, don't always think that relationship is going to work. How do you know, Tundi? Because I went through it. And my ex-husband's mistress, soon to be, you know, stayed to be his girlfriend. They didn't stay together. You know, she came back and told me, you know, that she, you know, was sorry for even messing with my husband. And she told me that, you know, you were the best woman for him. You know, she said that she was really just trying to use him. And then she said that she got with another guy and he did the exact same thing to her. So you never know the consequences and repercussions of you doing, you know, what you're doing and the consequences and repercussions of what he's doing. We have to take into account that people are people. You know, my husband told me, he was like, you was hell to live with. And I was like, what? He was like, yeah. I was like, no, I don't think so. I was just going through, but I was depressed. I was, you know, worried about, you know, our finances, because we would be up for a minute, we would be down for a minute. I was trying to help him stand on this end, trying to help him stand on that end. And in my relationship, we fought all the time, you know. So after, you know, we were trying to convince ourselves along with everybody else that our marriage was a viable marriage, and that, you know, despite us fighting a lot, that we really did love each other. So I was like, shit, I ain't gonna be keep on trying to worry about it if it's not gonna be, you know, something that I can keep up. And I excuse my curse word there, but, you know, I'm a human being just like everybody else, and we have to take into account that things happen, you know. And you be feeling some type of way. I was like, even to this day, it's like the fights were my fault, and I'm like, this boy was doing this, and this. But yet again, other people might say, well, you were doing this. So I sat back and I reevaluated the situation. I reevaluated myself. I reevaluated how we interacted. You know, I met my husband, and he was 6 years younger than I was. And so he, you know, I really got him in his young years, the years that men really take and, you know, sow their royal oats, if you want to say, you know, 17, 18, 19, you know, we got married. He was 23, I was 29. By that time, we had been together for years, because I met him when he almost turned 18, and then I was 24, and I kept telling him, this little boy, leave me alone, but he wouldn't. And the first time he and I interacted, he stayed at my house. Well, the first time we were intimate, he stayed at my house, you know, for 2 weeks. And back in the day, I was young, you know what I'm saying? I was young, and to have a dude next to me, I thought that's what I had to have. You know, I thought, you know, that I had to have sex. I thought that I, you know, I couldn't go without it. And to hear this young boy came, and he had some good sex, you know, honey. He had done set your girl on fire, and, you know, and that's how we did that for each other. We had good sex. We had that good sex life, and it was the other rooms in the house that we didn't have the good rapport with, and you know, that caused the problem. And I had to separate the sex from the marriage, you know. I had to separate the from the marriage. I had to separate that part of our life, because if I didn't, we wouldn't have made it. And we, at the end of the day, we didn't, but we became the best friends two people could be. We had a love for each other that, you know, was outside of the realm of sex. It was, I loved him and he loved me, and we were able to see each other for who we really were, and we were able to talk, and we were able to communicate. And then he passed away, but he told me everything he wanted me to know. He said he loved me. He told me that if something happens to him, to keep pushing on. He told me, don't stop, keep going. He told me he was proud of me. And for him to say those words to me, I really will never forget those words. And they touched me then, and they touch me now. So if you're going through something, anybody, ladies, gentlemen, it doesn't matter. You know, time, they say, will heal all wounds. But, you know, that's true to an extent. Some things just take prayer and supplication. So talk to God about what you got going on. You know, he's not going to be too far, because he already knows. And if your mate left, if he went with another woman, you know, it's hurtful to see your spouse with another female and they seem happy. But it's not all it seems. It's a show for the world. It's to put on this, you know, act, you know, I'm so happy here. And he may feel like he's happy over there, but I guarantee you, he thinking about home. You know why? Because my husband told me, he was like, it wasn't a day went by that I ain't think about you and my kids. It wasn't a day that went by that I didn't want to come home. It ain't a day that went by that I felt like, what the hell I have done? I done destroyed my wife. And, you know, and I didn't know he felt like that. Because we were talking, and he was on the road, and he said, and I said, you don't care about me. You don't. He said, you stop right there. You don't know how I cried.
And I was like, okay. And then I was like, all right, so he did kill. You know what I'm saying? He did, you know, love me, you know. Because sometimes he's thinking he loved me. But, you know, I shouldn't think that my husband didn't love me, because he did. He would give me whatever he had until he started tricking. Tricking if you got it. You know, but I ain't gonna make this no long drawn out situation. You girls just take what happens. You know, I ain't saying take it for a grain of salt, but take it, evaluate it, and always look back at yourself. Because my dad always said, when you point that index finger out, that thumb is gonna come back. And not, don't depict him, depict you. So when you go into the next relationship, you won't carry all that baggage. Because just like this couple said, they fell in love and they knew that they were meant to be together. And despite the legal troubles they've had, despite what has happened, they're actually very happy. This person that you're married to may not be for you. And you may be trying to force something that is not there. And it is holding up the person that God really has for you. It's holding up the person that God has designed to be able to love you with your flaws and all. So don't ever feel like that it may not be. It's not going to, you know, that it's for the worst and it's going to hurt you so bad, because you never know what God meant for this to happen. I want you girls to give me some feedback, you know, Unusual_blessings. That's me on Instagram, Tundi Hector on my LinkedIn, Tundi Hector on my Twitter, Facebook. My fan page is Tundi Hector. My email is runtundi@gmail.com. And also unusualblessings16@gmail.com. Hit me up. Let me know what you feel. You know, if you want to donate to my podcast to help me to create some more content, because I really want to take this to the next level. I love to talk, and you people know it. You know what I'm saying? Because if you listening to me, I am what I am, and I can't be nothing else. That's what Popeye said. I am what I am, and I can't be nothing else. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to experience different things. I'm going to try different things, because you'll never know what is going to happen if you do not try. And if these men out here stressing you out, girl, don't let that man stress you out, girl. You better pray. You better go out and mingle. You better have fun. You better put your makeup on. You better put your heels on. If you wear heels, whatever you wear, make yourself look good. Go out and say, you know what? I wasn't born with him, and I ain't got to die with him. I can make it through this thing, because I am the most important person in the world. And if he can't understand that, that's on him. You people have a good day. I love you. And always remember to pray and talk to the Father above. And it's your girl, Tunde. And y'all have a blessed one. Peace. What's up, Unusual Blessings podcast listeners? It's your girl, Tunde. I am here today because I have a couple things I want to talk to you all about. First, I am apologetic because I was going to do a podcast on the election series, which did not really take place, simply because there was not a winner declared. Here it is, a week later, and we are going through the recount process in several elections. I'm proud to announce that here in the state of Georgia, gubernatorial, race member Stacey Abrams had filed a class action lawsuit with the Supreme Court, urging them to count all provisional ballots. There was some 63,000 ballots that were not cast
And so we can at least try and get a runoff. So that is good. That was came down this morning on the news. Also in the gubernatorial race in the state of Florida, and I think the Senate race. These races are being challenged and recounted as we speak. They are recounting these votes, and we were looking to this, and we want to know what's going on. Today, my broadcast is about the elephant in the room and why is racism taking over here, and why are we feeling threatened in 2018. But before I get into that, I also want to let everyone know that TundiHector.net is going to have some very, very nice changes to it. It's very awesome. New Way Studio in Buckhead, Atlanta, Georgia. It's my branding company, and they are working on things for me as we speak. Working on getting, I'm going to, you know, try and delve into the matter of new content. But I am the type of person that once I do a broadcast, I try to speak, you know, I'm not going to speak on anything that's going to be irrelevant. Everything that I'm going to speak on is going to be something that can help, can inspire, can make you feel better. But we do have to address the racism issue. I myself, if you were to purchase my book, you can read, and I've said this a couple of times on this podcast, where I was 13 years old and I was standing at the bus stop, and a family, you know, white people came by and called me a nigger, you know, and that was very traumatizing for me as a child. And it's been something that has lingered with me for the duration of my life. And, you know, just had a lot of things going on. And even as we get into these subjects, on Saturday, you know, my day was filled with people just being white people. I'm, you know, I'm not trying to be funny, but they were just being outright rude, and, you know, just being, you know, and at what point do you say, you know, we got to forgive, we all got to do this? But I want you guys to know, you know, there are two instances that stemmed this broadcast today. One was the McDonald's incident, where allegedly this woman and her manager also called a black African-American patron of the store, of the business, called him a nigger. And before we get into it, I'm going to just play a sound bite and let you hear it.
Yo, I'm at McDonald's and they just called me a nigger. I'm going to get so many money. I want to get so much money from these motherfuckers.
No, you're not. Because you were asked to leave numerous times and you refused to leave.
This lady just called me a nigger, and the manager back there called me a nigger.
You're acting ignorant. Look up the word in the dictionary.
You said nigger.
You obviously don't know what the fucking dictionary is.
You said nigger. You said nigger, and the manager back there, Francisco, called me nigger.
No, I said look it up in a dictionary.
I got it on tape. It's all good. It's all good.
I'm chill.
I said look up the word nigger in a dictionary.
I'm at McDonald's and they just called me nigger. Nigger at McDonald's. Word. Your manager called me a nigger. I'm acting like one?
An ignorant person. Look it up in the dictionary. You need
I'm acting like a nigger?
You're illiterate is what you are. Look it up in a dictionary. It's called an ignorant person.
Wow.
It's not about that black people. Look it up.
Okay, so you clearly hear this female employee calling this man a nigger. You know, she's cursing, using vulgar language, telling him he does not know what the meaning of nigger is, that he is not, that he won't leave the restaurant, and you know, that he is such a nigger, such an ignorant person, you know, not not thinking of the connotations that come along with that stigma of word, excuse me, and not really thinking that she is doing anything wrong. You know, when we go up against these types of issues and when we go up towards these types of things, it really is offensive. You know, and you know, okay, here again, nigger in the dictionary is a contemptuous term for a black or dark skinned person. That does not have anything to do with ignorance. That does not have anything to do with ignorance. I just don't see that. I didn't get that from the definition. Nigga is N-I-G-G-A in the dictionary. It says a respelling of nigger, N-I-G-G-E-R, typically representing urban African American speech. There again, nigger does not say in the dictionary anything to do with ignorance. It's a contemptuous term for a black or dark skinned person. Now, we heard her blatantly say, look it up. It's actually like you're ignorant. You know, these are things that that people have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. As I played the soundbite, what did you hear? What undertone did you actually come up with? Because I came up with, you know, I'm the superior race. I am the superior, you know, person. You're not leaving here. You're acting like a nigger. You're doing things. How does a nigger really act? I'm curious to know, how does a nigger really act? You know, that word should not be used in any sentence by any person that is blatantly a white person talking to a black person. That's just, that can incite a riot. We thank the good Lord above that this young gentleman had the tenacity to, you know, get out his camera and start recording, bringing light to these issues. You know, I myself this weekend went through several instances where I was really challenged, you know, by white people. And it was just, you know, it's like, and I don't want to bring this back to the president, but, you know, you standing on a podium and telling the whole world that you're a nationalist, you know, and the prime minister of France getting on and saying, you know, we don't recognize that as a word. That's just, you know, that's speaks volumes as far as hatred goes. That speaks volumes as far as you separating yourself as not only a white person, but just a human being from another division of people. I am very upset about it. I feel as though we in 2018 should not be having to address this elephant in the room. And my way of addressing the elephant in the room is to talk about it. People, God commands that we love one another. There's no way around it. That's his number one, you know, commandment, is to love one another. And we can only accomplish good if we love one another. You know, I think it's deplorable that, you know, we can, you know, live in a time where people are making great strides, not only black people, but, you know, people of all races, people of all creeds. You know, if you are LBGT community member, I apologize, you are having your rights recognized. If you are of another nationality other than African American, we see where there have been two Native Americans voted into the Senate, a record number of women have been voted into the Senate. So this is a time where we should, as a country, come together. This is a time where we should be in full harmony with one another. We should not be, you know, going against the grain and, you know, you did this and I just don't like you because you're black and I just don't like you because you're white. And I shouldn't, you know, and we shouldn't do that, because what are we teaching the kids? What are we teaching the kids? You know, I want to take you to another situation where there was on Sunday a young man by the name of Jameel Robinson, I think his name was. Let's check and make sure. He was a bar. Yes, Jameel Robinson. He was a security guard in a bar and was shot dead by police after he expressed to certain patrons of the bar to leave due to their behavior. They did, in fact, leave. They came back and fired. He returned fire. There were four of them. It was one of him. He had his service pistol. He was using it. Wanted to be a police officer. Wanted to be in conjunction with the very people that, you know, are sent to serve and protect. And that's what he was doing. He was encompassing his job to the best of his ability, and his life was snuffed out and cut short. Well, his mother has filed a suit against the Milton Police Department, and I'm going to play a sound bite from that. Let's go to this and let's let you hear that.
He says he tried to detain a gunman, has filed a civil rights lawsuit against the officer who shot him and his department. Court documents say 26-year-old Jameel Robinson was working security at a bar and had detained a shooting suspect. Robinson, who is black, was wearing a security vest, and witnesses say people in the crowd yelled to arriving police that Robinson was a guard. Still, one responding officer shot him, who later died at the hospital. Friends and family say Robinson was studying to become a police officer himself.
He got his life took by...
You see, these instances, these types of behaviors, Mr. Robinson was doing his job. He was doing everything right. He was working. He was not out in the streets. He was studying to become not a rapper, not a, you know, not a, a market man. He wasn't studying to be, he was studying to be a police officer. And for him to be doing that in this day and age, the stigma around police officers and the brutality, the blatant brutality that is being expressed against the African-American male is, you know, astounding. And for this young man, 26 years old, his life to be cut down and snuffed out is absolutely deplorable. But I do take your attention back to the head. You know, the head of this country is going around and saying things that are very, very, you know, condescending, and he's being, you know, he's just not making good decisions. And we as a people have to stand up against these injustices, again, I say, because, you know, for this young man's life to be snuffed out and at an early age, and 26 is not old. You know, I was 26 17 years ago. You know, it time will go on. You will learn. You will live and learn. This young man was not on the wrong path. He did have a family. He had people who loved him. He had an older brother. He had a mother. He had a father. He had people who loved him. You know, this is bringing out all the racist groups. You know, this the rhetoric that the president is spitting out is bringing out people who, and the nationalists actually think he's talking about them. But on one hand, he's not making the point that he's not talking about them. He's not correcting his mistakes. You know,
I've told you guys plenty of times. I'm me. I may say something wrong. I don't care. My message is the same. Love will conquer all. And until we learn that as a race of people, we're not going to move forward in this world. It's got to be some type of line. You know, ever like I heard Jimmy Fox on Kelly and Ryan this morning saying, you know, everybody's drawing lines in the sand. And his grandmother said, you know, when things are quirky, you know, it's been a quirky year. So many things have gone on. You know, you live and you learn. You keep going. But when things are quirky like that, and when things happen, we all have to join together. We have to come together in an instance, because if we don't, we're not gonna move forward. Are we taking this back to the Jim Crow days? Are we going back to a time where people were not valued, that people were disrespected? You know, Mr. Trump has blatantly last week talked to black female reporters in such a horrific manner, you know, and it's like in all of my years being able to remember the presidents and their, you know, press conferences and speeches, I've never heard a president speak to a person in that manner. He even, and I actually was watching the press conference. I didn't just hear about it in the news. I was actually watching the press conference live as, you know, these things were happening. And also how he talked to the journalist John Acosta. I thought that was very horrible, because Mr. Acosta is a very, very good journalist. He very well does his job to the best of his ability. And he does it, you know, digging for the right answers. It's what journalists are supposed to do. They are supposed to bring the story as it's, you know, needs to be, with a degree of transparency, a degree of, the clear vision, the clear picture of what it is that, you know, we as an American public want to know of the officials who run the executive office and other situations. So, you know, these things, you know, touch my heart, and I do feel the need to come on and talk about them. I just want us as a community to learn to love one another, because if we do not do that, we're going to find ourselves in a bad situation. Things are already at the helm of being disruptive, but the elephant in the room has to be taken down. We have to discuss the elephant in the rooms. Talk to your kids about hatred. Talk to your families about hatred. As we approach the holiday season, as we approach the holidays, we have to come to a consensus, people. We've got to. I encourage all of my listeners to understand and know that, you know, these are perilous times. The Lord is going to come. And when he does, he is going to be looking for a church that without spot or wrinkle. The church isn't the actual building. The church is in your heart. The church is you. How do you treat your neighbor? How do you treat the people around you? You know, the devil is going to constantly fight you, but you've got to stand up for what is right. Because if you don't, and you guys heard me say it before, you'll fall for anything. So this is your girl, Tunde. And I also wanted to give a happy birthday shout out to my granny, Miss Julene Johnson. She turned the marvelous 89 years young today. I'm very proud of that. I've been told that I'm going to chip off the old block. So, you know, both my grandmothers, Mary and Hector, may she rest in peace. My other grandmother, my mother always said, my dad said, well, you know, she just like my mother. So, however you feel about me, just know that I receive my training a lot from the two matriarchs in the Hector family and also the Johnson family. I would like to just give her that honor today, because she very well deserves it.
And again, I'm going to be out. I just want you all to know that I want you to love one another. Don't be swayed by the hatred. By all means, don't be swayed by the hatred. Hatred is going to be something that we can't control it in other people, but we can control it in ourselves. And again, you guys have a good day. I love you. And again, it's your girl, Tunde. Until the next time, you guys have a good one. Peace.